Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast experiment in which I and Andy Barr...
Hello, that's me.
...have been cloning ourselves.
You are right, Alexander, we have. We have been cloning ourselves and we have given those clones a little challenge, which is to familiarise themselves over 24 hours with three separate things from human experience.
And then we've invited some special guests to explain things to the clones with the understanding that the clones only understand... the three things that they've been given.
One day, this summary will get pithier.
These three things in this episode are...
Popeye.
A hog roast.
And Birmingham New Street Station.
Andy.
Yes.
Were you to need to become strong...
Yeah.
...to overcome an obstacle in your life... You might like to have a think about what that obstacle would be.
Yeah. Big rock.
Just in your way.
Yeah.
And you can't go around it.
Well, no, I would make my brain stronger so that I would have the capacity to go round it. Or for that to occur to me, rather than just butting my head up against the rock or trying to climb it.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know. I don't know if you can make your brain stronger.
I'm going to say that it's a muscle. The brain is a muscle, and you can train it.
I don't know. Or
you can get round training with the drug from the film Limitless.
I don't know if you can insult your friends at the gym by going, well, it looks like someone skipped brain day. But anyway, this is incidental.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Or you could be, there could be a machine at the gym, which is just... maths. Get on the maths machine and do that for.
I'm picturing
20 reps.
A massive abacus is what I'm picturing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that would be both, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I would quite like to see that. As a big fan of World's Strongest Man, as we all know, I would love to see the Atlas Stones in some way integrated into a large abacus like construction.
So, say you have a problem.
Yeah.
What thing would you like to consume to suddenly become powerful? And for this to be a known thing about you, that, oh, Andy, when he wants to become strong, he pops
a pint.
A pint?
Yeah.
Just booze?
Yeah, just have a pint and then you're better.
You'll become.
Wouldn't that be good?
You become stronger via pints.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, it's you've got to take the rough with the smooth in that you become slightly more ill-coordinated. But, you know, there's a sweet spot.
So you want to lose control of your inhibitions and your judgment and also gain huge physical strength?
Well, not completely. As I said, there's a sweet spot.
Right.
That three pints.
I'm sort
three
of
pints of strength.
Do you think Popeye ever gets halfway through a can of spinach and goes
strong enough now?
Yeah, that's enough for me.
Yeah, probably. He's got to save it for later. You know, perhaps. Bluto has only placed olive oil in a mild amount of peril, and he knows that back at home later on that evening,
yes,
he's got to unscrew a particularly tight washer or something like that. So he just has half a can, pouches the remainder of the half because, you know, times are tight, cost of living.
Yeah,
he's got to pinch the pennies.
Yes.
So, you know, if you save half a can, you kind of assess the strength required for each task. Hmm. You can half can it. Which is a phrase.
To half can something. Yeah. I'll half can that.
Yeah.
I'd pick
right
as my strengthening food just lots of like small plates, like sort of tapas.
Right. Sliders.
Yeah. Sliders. And like nachos, and just but like a lot of it.
So you'd have to have a lot of them to
just lots get of small a good plates.
Amount. So they provide the increment of strength that is provided by a single slider is not very much.
None at all. But combined with the other small
right,
plates,
so 20 of them. Then so it's there's no step. There's no yeah. kind of stepped.
If I just have a couple of sliders and some guacamole,
fuck all.
Fuck all.
Right.
If I have a bit of everything.
Right, okay. So here, buffet, here you have to have a buffet.
Yeah, buffet. Buffet's quite
full,
good.
The full spread.
Yeah.
Did you leave anything out?
So in the cartoon where I'm the Popeye figure.
Right.
I go, oh, I need to rescue olive oil.
Yeah, but you haven't had any of the cheese footballs.
has anyone got a paper plate? Then I just walk down the buffet. A couple of sausage rolls, maybe some pate on a bit of sort of toast.
So you're mostly becoming strong at weddings.
Yeah, weddings and funerals. And sort of large local events.
Have you ever gone into a pub of a
yes.
an afternoon?
Yes.
And there's a spread on. And you've discovered that it's catering for a funeral, well, for a wake.
Mm.
Not many people showed up, so it's now free game.
Oh, no, that's never happened to me.
It's a unique cocktail of feelings.
Right.
I mean, you know, happy. I can have, by the looks of things, quite a lot of sandwiches if I wanted. Sad, because a life has passed without making enough of a mark on the world to clear a tray.
Yeah, that's... I think that's the definition of mixed emotions.
Yeah.
Free sandwiches.
Yeah, two emotions. Two emotions riding side by side.
Do you ever get that feeling, just a craving for a food that you can't quite place?
Oh, yeah.
I had that several years ago. And I was sort of...
It feels like it's going to be a fascinating story. I'm strapping in here.
Well, I was just going, what do I want? What is it? And I realised that I was pining for the pâté at my grandmother's wake.
Wow. Mm. What was in it? Do you know what the...
Don't know.
Right.
This very specific pâté in the very specific 70s pub that my grandmother's wake took place in.
That's the sort of extra bit of loss that her passing holds for you, in that you know you're never going to be able to get that back either.
She's a dear part of my life.
Yeah,
and also, who do I ask about that pate?
They're probably dead as well by now.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
it could be.
What was the pub called?
I don't know. My grandmother was a publican.
So the pate might have died with her. That was her last gift to you.
Well, I don't think I don't think she made pate, died, and then they went, well, this will go to waste, so we might as well use it for a funeral.
Yeah, pop that out.
She'd been retired for my entire life before the funeral.
So that had been in a locker then. Last will and testament. Open the safe.
The last pate.
Yeah.
I did find it odd that at the end of the service, The vicar said, "We now commit Bessie to the flames."
Mm.
Everyone, please do have some of the pate. Any strong feelings about hog roast?
Well, as a big fan of Kent County Cricket Club growing up, the former captain of Kent County Cricket Club, Rob Key, a man notorious for having a slightly red face and being one of the more rotund players to play for England in cricket. Every year, he would have a birthday hog roast, and it was a dream of ours to attend. Not necessarily to have any of the hog roast, but just to see how much Rob Key would pack away.
Do you think there were several hogs? A personal hog.
Yeah, I think there was. There's a
party hog.
Yeah. There's one for the serfs, and then a sort of private, particularly nicely glazed hog.
Is this just taking the piss out of a man because he's fat?
No, I don't think so. He had a sort of an air of a man out of time, a sort of gourmand king kind of vibe to him.
Like a sort of how the aristocracy used to show their wealth by eating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he also, had big ruddy cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a very old school, like cricket player from a different time.
Yeah. It's good. I've got a picture of him on my desk at work.
In place of,
I mean, he's obviously a bit of a Tory cunt, but...
Well, he's a cricket
player.
He's a cricketer. Do you look at that whenever people look at their families and particularly stressful days at work? Do you just turn and give him a glance?
Well, no, because I've got a picture of a nice tapir just next to that, so I tend to look at that.
Okay. You've got lots of lovely things to look at.
Yeah.
What other things have you got to look at? You have a nice picture?
I used to have a picture of the two fat ladies over which I had written the slogan, "Believe in yourself." Printed that out.
Would you like to explain what the two fat ladies were to our younger listeners?
They were a couple of larger ladies who were chefs who would travel around the country in a motorbike and sidecar. This is for television. It's said that they wander the roads.
Like a sort of...
And then stop into the last monastery in Lincolnshire and make them a potted hare. And then in the middle of the night, they steal away. It was like that, but it was filmed. I think they were both alcoholics.
Keith Floyd era?
Yeah, but slightly post-Floyd, I think. Concurrent with Floyd, but after his sort of heyday.
Sure.
Probably both raving Tories as well.
Yeah, but I think younger people have grown up in an environment where cooking shows are either someone eating something that's genuinely dangerous to eat, or in a sort of man versus food kind of way.
Yeah.
Or everyone in like an 18-year-old who works in a restaurant for his granddad because he has to, being called a cunt because he doesn't know how to organise a fridge properly.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ramsay School of cookery shows. Whereas it used to be somebody who looks unwell going around drinking a hell of a lot and demonstrating to you exactly why they look the way that they do.
And then getting behind the wheel of a motorbike.
Yeah, whilst cooking something for a monk or a nun or some choristers. Or in the case of Floyd, a number of very unimpressed French women who tell him in French how much they fucking detest and consider it an insult what he has just done.
Yeah, TV chefs used to take like a dressing down from not just other chefs but like members of the public.
Yeah, it was great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But somewhere in an ivory tower in TV land.
Mm.
Somebody was sat there going, you know what would make this better?
Yeah.
If Keith Floyd called that old woman a cunt.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of her hand. It's raw, you cunt! Floyd shouted a monk.
How fucking dare you, Brother Anthony? Have you been having too much of your Trappist ale, you fucking drunk, disgusting disgrace to the fucking Church of England? You should go out there. You should go to the tower where the bells are, and you should get one of those ropes and you should loop it around your fucking neck and get one of the other brothers to pull the bell so that you rise up as an example to the rest of these bald twats.
Who made this? No one owning up? Yeah, I'd take a vow of silence if I was responsible for this absolute shite. I would have at least expected the wine to be good.
Gordon, if you are listening, or if any of your people are listening, we are willing to sell this idea to you for an inordinate amount of money.
Gordon Ramsay's
convent nightmares. And you can, you know, you can kind of, you can have a sort of giallo horror element to it as well.
It's raw! Cook the body of Christ, you fucking idiot! We don't store meat next to the relics!
I would enjoy Gordon Ramsay getting into a debate around this kind of nature of transubstantiation on television.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Sort of directionless rage, because he's sort of, he knows what he feels about the food, but he is aware of sensitivities around religious issues. And he's just sort of going purple, not really knowing where to turn.
Yeah. I mean, the temperature at which the wafer becomes Christ, if there is such a, I don't know, I'm not sure of the mechanics behind it.
If you want a fluffier Christ, leave the wafers in for longer. I think the way that series ends is that Ramsay accidentally gets converted and leaves a quiet and peaceful life with the monks.
That would be good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be very good.
I think we might have to keep this as a sitcom idea.
Yeah, put that on the back burner.
Furious chef goes into a monastery to tell them that their cunts gets converted.
I mean, you'd have to do quite a lot of contextual work to explain why any of this was happening.
Well, they need more religious programming, and people don't.
Yeah, don't
want to watch it, so they make it a cookery show.
Yeah. And then, you know, you could sell it to different religions as well.
Yeah. And, you know, he could meet more and more religious figures and tell them what for about the, you know.
Yeah. Gordon Ramsay's Mandir nightmares.
This is the worst pasta I've ever had, Your Holiness.
You're watching Hell's Gurdwara.
This is the worst bagel I've ever had at 4 a.m. That's a joke about one very specific shop in London. Our two guests in this episode are Andrea Hubert and the actor Simon Caine.
That's true. I can't dispute that. That's absolutely 100% true.
And you'd love to dispute it, Andy, but you just can't in this instance.
No. I wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
Absolutely not.
Take umbrage.
You can find Andrea and Simon on various forms of social media. Andrea is a brilliant comedian, gigging all the time. Simon, you can listen to the episodes of John Finnemore's Souvenir programme on BBC Sounds.
BBC Sounds.
Simon is in, and he's in a very good episode of the sitcom Ghost.
Yeah, you'd probably have to watch some of the other episodes of the sitcom Ghosts to.
But that'd be good.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Just see if we care.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck, bloody fuck what you do.
I don't give a flying fuck whether or not you've seen Ghosts.
This is raw.
Padre. So. I'll do. Yeah. Andrea Hubert.
Hello.
And Simon Kane.
Hello.
Thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
You're very welcome. Very welcome.
Cheers. Exactly.
In the time that myself and Andy have been alive, we have come to learn something of the following three things.
Popeye.
A hog roast.
Birmingham New Street Station.
Fantastic.
These are three things that we know about.
Excellent.
And we'd like you to explain some other things to us. Andrea.
Yeah.
In 1 minute.
In 1 minute, as in I've got 60 seconds, or in 1 minute's time, while we all just sit here?
60 seconds.
Oh, 60 seconds. Okay, sure.
Whatever that means. Andrea. In
60 seconds.
In 60 seconds.
Could you please explain to us who Typhoid Mary is? Your 1 minute starts now.
Well, Typhoid Mary's this girl I went to school with.
What school?
Yeah.
Oh, School of Ballet, obviously.
What's ballet?
Ballet is this kind of, it's like a rickshaw dance that people do.
You're raising a lot of questions here.
Yeah,
what's a rickshaw?
A rickshaw is kind of like a ribbon, which is a sort of a length of tape, which is a kind of a...
Could you put any of these things in the context of either Popeye, a hog roast, or Birmingham New Street Station?
Yes, definitely.
Do that then.
Okay. Popeye is a sort of a condition that you get when one of your eyes is really infected and it kind of bulges.
We know who Popeye is.
Oh, right. Oh, and I've misjudged this.
I've not seen Popeye come out of anyone's eye.
Oh, that's so... No, it's a real condition.
His arms
go normally
big.
It's both eyes, but with Popeye, I'd assume just one eye. Okay, so you know who the real...
Is this spinach related?
No, it could be.
Your time
could
is up,
I thought you didn't know
so
who
much,
spinach
Andrew.
Was.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. That was an awful lot of information.
I think that was an awful lot of half information.
Yeah.
I panicked.
A ribbon is like a tape.
I'm in full panic mode.
Well, Typhoid Mary is a girl you went to school with, and you went to ballet school, which is where you learn how to put a ribbon on a rickshaw.
Quite right. Absolutely correct.
Okay. I hope that all becomes pertinent later on in the
process. Yeah, hopefully we learn more about that going forward.
Simon.
Hello.
Could you please, in 1 minute, explain to us who magical Mr. Mistopheles is? Your time starts now.
You know the cartoons Popeye? Do you know?
We know Popeye.
Yeah.
And he's in cartoons in Australia.
He's a sailor man.
Well, that's a song, and he sings, and some of the
Popeye
cartoons
the
have
sailor
songs
man.
About, boop, yeah. Boop. Yeah. And yes, yeah, so there is a form of entertainment using real people, which
real
also,
Popeyes.
No, real people like you and me, and yeah.
Like Popeye. Right.
Not like Popeye. No, that's a musical. And
could you explain the main ways in which you and I are different to Popeye?
Real Popeye is a cartoon, a drawing, a moving drawing, and anyway, Magical Mr. Mistopheles is a cat in a musical about cats.
What's
and
a cat? Mad.
Cats are smaller animals, which are like, if you imagine
smaller
a person,
than what?
Smaller than people, and
all
on
of them?
All fours. Yes, all of them. Domestic cats are.
What does domestic mean?
Around the house.
Thank you.
Where
Thank
Popeye
you.
Lives.
Cheers.
Thank you. Okay.
That felt a bit more complete as information.
Yeah, I mean, not as broad a range of things.
Offended. Very offended.
Andy, could you sum up what we've learned about Magical Mr. Mistopheles?
Yeah, so Magical Mr. Mistopheles, in common with Popeye, sings a song, I believe. Popeye is not real, whereas we and possibly Magical Mr. Mistopheles are real. But he's also a cat, and that is something which, if it's domestic, is smaller than us, but also has the possibility to be larger.
But in another context, you'd have a small one in your house.
Yeah. Don't know what a house is, but
maybe that'll become apparent.
Might crop up.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Those are some people that we were interested to learn about.
Okay.
We'd like to learn something about some places.
Lovely.
Andrea, in 2 minutes.
Oh my God.
Could you please tell us where and what Disneyland is? Your time starts now.
Disneyland is a place that is larger than Birmingham New Street Station by a great deal.
By a great deal.
Could you give us a sort of magnitude?
I'd say it's about 600 million times the size of Birmingham New Street.
That's
a feast for the
brain. Do you understand numbers? Because that's
no.
So it's many, many Birmingham New Streets larger than Birmingham New Street. If that makes
any
sense.
How many platforms?
Oh, that one. Now that's a question because you've got digital. You've got you've got social. You've got all sorts of platforms. For Disney? You've got the TV channel Disney Plus.
How many WH Smiths do they have at Disneyland?
Yeah.
They don't have any WH Smiths, which is not something I thought you knew. But
It's in Birmingham New Street Station.
Oh, certainly it is. Yes, certainly it is, and a very lovely one it is there too. I would say they haven't got any WH Smiths there, but what they've got is they've got large. They've got people dressed as furry animals.
Cats?
Do you know what animals are? Some are cats, not many. I can't think of a single one that's a cat, if I'm completely honest. But there's lots of dogs. There's lots of princesses. That's a human woman.
That's an animal.
It depends. If it's like someone going, I'm a princess, then yeah, sure, she can be an animal. But
what is the difference between a person and a princess?
Oh, great question. One has a lot of money and the other one may have a lot of money or not.
So we understand money as being something that you use to get things from W.H. Smith at Birmingham New Street.
That is absolutely correct.
Or get a hog roast.
Or get a hog roast. Well, yeah, it depends. But if somebody's nice and they're just doing a hog roast, say at a wedding, then you just get a hog roast and you wouldn't have to pay for it, you see?
What's a wedding?
Exactly. What's a wedding? What's a wedding? My mother's asked me that so many times. She normally goes, when's the wedding?
Would you be able to sum it up in 10 seconds?
Yeah, sure. A wedding is when a princess says, it's my special day! For like the most of the time, and the man just stands there. Oh God, that's not feminist of me.
Your time is up, Andrea. Thank you. You have, in a roundabout way, explained to us that Disneyland is a kind of huge train station populated by dogs and women trying to get married.
I would say that there's parts of that are very true. Hey, there's definitely dogs there, and there's definitely women who'd like to get married there.
It's a massive train station full of dogs and women trying to get married.
I don't see which part's not true.
Well, and
that's really good.
We are not equipped to counter that in any way. So.
No, thank you.
All right, thank you, Popeye.
Well, we don't want to.
No, we're not Popeye.
Oh, sorry, I get it. I'm the weird
one. There aren't that many insults you'd understand, though, are
there? Yeah, I know. I'm not sure if a Popeye is an insult. Yeah,
just briefly, Simon, what is an insult?
It's when you call someone something that might hurt their feelings.
And what might hurt Popeye's feelings, for example? He's a person we know about. What would hurt Popeye's feelings?
How many eyes have you got? I'm under the impression he only has one eye.
Yeah,
and
Popeye.
Maybe he'd want two.
Popeye,
or maybe he's just squints.
Popeye has like one closed eye.
Mm. Or you might say to him, "Cool those muscles."
Yeah. Or what's up with the arms?
Yeah. Those tattoos are
the
shit,
sea's
mate.
Rubbish.
Yeah. Your wife's really rough.
I can see why you're never on the sea. Yeah. Some sailor.
So it's
Pluto's more attractive.
Are you
than
going
you
to
are?
The shops? It's sailor activity.
It's placing less value in the things that they
hold dear.
Correct.
It's trying to shake their worldview up by, either saying the things they like are rubbish or pointing out that they lack things that they love. Yeah. Those are two ways.
Correct.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. And I feel like we're on the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
And
well, with that role that you're on, Simon, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what Cumbria is?
Time starts now.
It's about the size of 600 million Birmingham New Street stations.
So it's sort of in the same realm as
Disney. Yeah, it's full of dogs and people wanting to get married.
Cumbria, so it's very similar to Disneyland.
But it occupies a different part of the globe, and I think it's also more naturally occurring rather than being the vision of a single artist.
Okay, we're getting... So Cumbria came into existence...
Well, it came. I forgot you know about hog roasts. What's the best? So, Birmingham New Street Station is a place that existed because someone built a place to serve a specific purpose.
Right.
And then there are places like Cumbria and countries which existed because a bunch of people lived in the same area for long enough to go.
What area is that?
What area is what?
Cumbria.
Cumbria. It's an area in the British Isles.
What are they?
The British Isles. The British Isles are a landmass that we live on.
So, right. So a lot of people, a lot of people lived in a certain bit of the British Isles, and that became Cumbria.
Yes.
And a lot of dogs lived in the same place, and that became Disneyland. Is that...
no, Disneyland was actually made by someone else.
Who was it made by?
Disneyland.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, sorry to tread on my teammates'
toes. We just want to learn.
It was made by Walt Disney, hence the name.
Who's Walt Disney?
Walt Disney was a filmmaker and artist and businessman 100 years ago who made lots of films and then wanted to make more stuff and just made stuff.
So he's a man who organised it. But
yeah.
Cumbria...
Whereas Cumbria is just sort of like most places, just a place that kind of was that is a place.
Okay,
you know what a place is because you know what people are. So it's one of those.
Does Disneyland have a purpose?
Yes,
what does it?
Well, one of its purposes is to keep going as a business, but its main purpose was to create a vision of the country the guy lived in based on fun fairs he'd been to.
And very, very quickly, what's the purpose of Cumbria?
Places don't need to have a purpose. And I think Cumbria is one of them.
Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome.
I really enjoyed how that ended.
You forgot joy. It Disneyland and joy and happiness.
To all who come
happy,
to this happy,
happy place.
No, no.
Yeah.
And don't ask what's joy because I couldn't tell you.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about what Cumbria is?
What's the point?
Thank you, Sam. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All the information is useful.
Sorry, I've made Andy sad.
There is no purpose, no point in Cumbria.
Oh, you're going to get some comments.
One of the areas of the human experience that myself and Andy are keen to learn more about is art.
Art.
And creativity.
What is art?
Was sort of a question we're going to ask you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Via a slightly more focused lens.
This is a great format.
I love this.
Andrea.
Yes.
Could you please explain to us in 3 minutes?
Yes.
What happens? Could you please explain to us what happens in the film Seven? Your time starts now.
Okay. I think behind the scenes, Brad Pitt and Gwyneth were sort of getting to know each other.
What's behind the scenes?
Yeah, great question. Behind the scenes is like real life versus in front of the camera. What's a camera? It's a sort of a
I was going to ask that question.
A machine that captures what you're doing in the day. So like film, you know, like that watches you. It's a machine that watches you.
It
watches you during the day and sometimes at night and sometimes when you don't even know it's on.
What times does a camera not watch you?
When it's turned off.
Okay.
But, you know, there are cameras all around us. So it's watching...
There are cameras all around us.
Yeah, so they're watching you pretty much all the time. But sometimes it's for a specific purpose, which is, say, art. For example, a film.
But you said that behind the scenes was when you weren't being watched by cameras, but now you're saying that cameras watch us all the time.
Oh, that's true. You know, do you know what? You're absolutely right. That is tricky. But the cameras that are watching us all the time only serve a purpose. Like, it's allegedly security, but is it... Is it? Do you know what I mean? But in terms of making...
What's security?
Yeah.
That's a sort of catch-all concept which is designed to make us think we're safe when we're actually being watched. Do you understand?
No. How would we become safer by being watched?
Well, that was what Gwyneth said when in the film...
Who's Gwyneth?
Gwyneth Paltrow, one of the stars of the film Seven. Eventually... Can I do a spoiler? A spoiler's okay.
We don't understand what they are.
It means that I'm about to tell people what happened in the movie. So if they're listening and they haven't seen it, which they should have done...
Will that make them less safe?
It will make them less safe, but it'll make them angry with me if they haven't seen the movie. And I don't like it when people are angry with me.
Why not?
Anger.
What's anger? That's when someone's like looks at you and they're just like, oh, gross.
And why don't you like it when people do that to you?
It hurts my feelings much in the same way as if it were an insult. Remember insult?
Right. Yeah.
So,
you tell Popeye,
I mean, like, how much time do I have left on this one? Because I just want to sort of conclude with Gwyneth head box. That's what I want to say. Gwyneth's head's in a box.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow is one of the stars of...
I didn't say star, I said actor.
No, you did say
you
star.
You said star.
Well, I want to say actor.
Okay, what's an actor?
An actor is a person who pretends to be a person. And tells a story that is not their own.
Why?
For the entertainment of other people who may or may not also be actors, but want a night off from just thinking about anything. Do you see what I mean?
How do you take time off thinking about anything?
Oh my God, meditation really works for me. But others might just sit in front of a film.
Right. And in 14 seconds, what happens to Gwyneth Paltrow?
She dies horribly and Brad's really upset.
And what is the manner of her death?
Head chopping off.
And what's death?
Death. What is death? What is death?
Yes.
Oh, that's
what well, we're willing to allow you more time.
Oh, God. Okay. What is death? Death is
not loads more time.
Yeah. Death is nothingness, depending on whether you believe in God or not.
Okay. So for the purposes of this exercise,
yeah.
I do believe in God.
What are you, five?
No, 24 hours.
Thank you, Andrea. In 3 minutes, you've told us that what happens in the film Seven is that, well, Seven was created.
Bear in mind, I've not seen it.
Seven was created by Brad Pitt and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
In the moments when they weren't being observed by, for security reasons, and what happens in it is that Gwyneth Paltrow loses her head and meets God.
I mean, I don't know if she met him or her.
Thank you, Andrew.
So you know what God is?
Yeah. I noticed that one too.
Oh, okay.
I noticed nobody said, what is God? Like, well, so
we have limited time to ask questions.
Yeah. I mean, we were trying to come to grips with what death is first.
Yeah.
Simon. In 3 minutes, could you please tell us what Nighthawks by Edward Hopper is?
Your time starts now.
So you know Popeye's a drawing?
Yes. Well, what is a drawing?
A drawing is something, is an image that you make with materials.
What materials?
Well, any kind of materials that leave a mark. And that mark
anything that leaves a mark.
Anything that leaves a mark, yeah.
Could you give us some examples?
Nighthawks, the painting by Edward Hopper, or the film
of materials.
Popeye. Of materials. Oh, that paint. Leave a mark. Which
what is paint?
It leaves a colour. Do you know what colours are?
Mm. We've seen them in the W.H. Smith in Birmingham and New Street.
Yeah, and yes, exactly. If you go to W.H. Smith, you'll see felt tips and coloured pencils and things that leave a mark that you do a drawing.
So things that look different.
yeah, things once left on a surface, ideally black.
anything that looks different once left on a surface is a colour.
So if I were to if I'd been to the hog roast and I got a hog in a bun and I were to put that down, that'd be a painting?
No, because it's not. You haven't used paint.
Right.
That would be that. Yeah, that would simply be an installation.
Right. Okay.
The material. Yeah, the materials matter. So, like a painting will be.
Would it be a
hogging? Two dimensions, which means flat. Hmm?
Would it be a hogging?
Because hog is the material.
You could call it that, and no one can stop you. But it would be more useful. to call it an installation, because then that noun can be applied to other things. If you make one thing and then just give it its own name, it's not very useful to talk about.
Right. So it helps to kind of band it in with some other.
Yeah. To group it in with other things that you can give the same name to.
But
why do we insist on this?
So we could talk about stuff like we're doing now. So it's about explaining things to people enjoy. Yeah,
keep
like
forgetting toy.
So we can talk about, we can explain things in terms of other things. So Nighthawks is a painter by Edward Hopper's a painting, and it's people in a restaurant like you might get at Birmingham New Street station. But it's
wasabi.
Although this is not in a station, this is in a street, and I think it's quite there's not many people in it.
We know what New Street is. What's a street?
What do you know? So New Street, you know, as words? Or
it's
do you
a train station.
Got Smith's, got wasabi.
It's a location. It's a road with buildings on.
Like lots of New Streets.
Yeah. Yes. Like, that's what a street is. And it's what Popeye walks down when he's going to the shops in the cartoons.
to buy spinach, presumably.
Yes. You will often see character, depending on the age of the cartoon, some of the later Popeye cartoons, he's just walking down a street. And the thing that the cars are on with buildings
just
in the
desolate.
Background.
We haven't wondering where everyone's gone.
We haven't seen all of Popeye.
Right. Yeah.
and
thanks.
Yeah. I think we learnt a lot about art there.
Yeah.
Would you like to sum up what we've learnt, Andy?
Absolutely. So art is something which is made when you use a material to change something. Putting paint on a surface, putting a hog roast on a surface, but it helps people to consider the art which is in front of them if it is grouped with another set of art, and it's very difficult to consider art in isolation from other art.
Thank you very much, Simon.
I'm happy with that.
I feel that was bloody profound. Yeah. Yeah, nice one.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Myself and Andy are aware that things existed before myself and Andy. And we'd
That's
like
very good of you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Well brought up.
Joy.
Well reasoned. Yeah, joy.
Don't forget joy.
Never forget it.
It's come up so many times, I am very briefly going to have to drill you, Andrew, on what joy is.
Oh, yeah. Joy is something out of reach. Let's move on.
Okay. I'm gonna hear that and make it a core part of my personality.
Oh, don't think I haven't.
Something that we would like to know about, Andrea, in 3 minutes is what the Aztec Empire was. Your 3 minutes start now.
Right. The Aztec Empire was the kind of pre-Disneyland Disneyland.
Would you say it's more similar to Cumbria?
Would I say it's more similar? I think if you put Cumbria together with Disneyland and added a dash of Birmingham New Street Station's vibe, you'd come somewhere close to the Aztec. Did you say? Definitely hog roast.
1.2 billion Birmingham New Street Stations.
That's really big.
Yeah, no, it's very. It was big. It's a long time ago.
How long ago?
I'd say 600 million years.
So like one of the early Popeyes.
One of the very early Popeye sort of places, one with streets or jungles. I can't remember the Mel Gibson film very well.
If Popeye were there,
yes,
and he were going down one of the streets, what would he be on his way to buy?
Ooh. I'd say some form of jewellery. or perhaps a scythe.
What's either of those?
Jewelry is sort of something you use to adorn yourself in a peacock fashion to make yourself look more attractive.
Would that be to make yourself art?
Yes, that's exactly correct. Wow, I love what you just said. That's amazing.
If I got some hog from a hog roast and put it in a bun,
yes,
and then adorned myself with it, is that then art?
Yes.
And is 100%
that is art. And it's not good art, and it's not art that a lot of people...
But I would be more attractive if I had part of a hog roast on me.
I mean, to hungry people, you definitely would be.
What's hungry?
Hungry is when you want the hog roast inside your body.
Why?
Rather than outside your body, so that your body fills up with hog, and then you are hogful.
To what end?
To what end? Oh, then your body will turn the hog into... It will just remove the hog from the body, so you put things in.
How are you putting it in?
Through the hole in your face.
Okay.
Right.
At the moment...
Oh, sorry, the largest hole in your face.
Right, okay.
Like Popeye with spinach. That's, I mean, yeah.
And who comes and removes the hog?
Yep. Oh, the hog just comes out by itself later on.
Does it reform?
I really regret this.
Yeah.
It does. It reforms into a different kind of hog.
Right.
and then it comes out... in a different kind of a way. Are we still anywhere near the Aztecs, by the way? Because I feel like I don't want to be culturally insensitive, but we all shit, don't we? Yeah.
Via what process does the hog come... So the hog reconstitutes itself outside of your body. Does
nice
that then
word
make,
for a 24-hour-year-old.
Does that then make whatever it comes out on a work of art?
Well, oh, now that's a great question. I would say yes and no, mostly no.
Helpful.
But potentially yes if you're in prison and that's the only
your
materials
time is up,
you've
Andrea.
Got to
Thank
work.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Andrea. We appreciate
tantalizing appearance of the concept of prison at the end.
Well, I was thinking of smearing things on walls and making a kind of an art, you know.
Well, we might learn more about that in the future. Andrea.
What's future?
You've taught us that the Aztec Empire is like a massive Birmingham New Street station where people put hogs inside them and then they're removed and become hogs again. And
Popeye goes there to purchase either scythes or jewellery.
Whatever scythes are. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew.
Do I feel okay about that, or have I offended people?
No, I do.
You said something about cultural insensitivity, but we don't have time to go over that.
We don't have time for that.
Too lengthy words. Simon, could you please tell us what happened when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars?
Your 3 minutes start now.
Well, you've just said.
Well, we don't understand the context for any of those words.
Okay. Will Smith is an actor.
Right.
The above.
Sort of a Gwyneth Paltrow type.
Yes. An entertainer.
Name two ways in which he is similar to Gwyneth Paltrow.
He has appeared in films
and films
awards ceremonies.
Films are something which you come up with when you're not being observed by a camera.
Well, they're works of fiction normally.
Films, from what I understand, films are when a camera is looking at you, but not for security purposes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's actually right. Really good. Yeah.
And recording it and turning that normally into some kind of narrative or story, a bit like Popeye, but with people instead of drawings. I think we talked about this. And to draw attention to this, people give each other prizes who work on films every year. And they say,
when you say work on films,
yes.
So there's more than just cameras.
So people operate the cameras and decide where the camera points
right.
and what's in front of the camera with art, so they will like make things like sets
but
and,
if people,
and costumes but and sides and jewelry.
If people decide, if it's people, I mean, I have so many questions. If people are deciding where the cameras are looking at, how do the people observing people with cameras, how are they observed for security purposes?
It's not for security purposes. So cameras were originally... there to record anything moving, and now
you've done it now.
I think, have I done
anything moving
yeah, elephants getting electrocuted, cats boxing, I mean, like you could really make a film of anything.
For the duration of the film being made, does this mean that it's insecure?
I think part of the point, I don't think there are many security cameras where you get films made, because the people making the film want only the what they want recorded sent out, and they don't want loads of other. They don't want to necessarily be recorded making the thing that they're recording, and they give each other prizes. And
what's an elephant?
An elephant is, you know, a hog.
Yeah,
I should have brought this up with cats. It's bigger. It's a bigger animal. It's a massive hog. Alive. It's a massive hog with accoutrements.
It's a living hog.
Yeah, a big, big, big living hog.
And what's electrocuting?
Electrocuting is when you kill something by running power through it, like lightning. And like maybe what Popeye emits when he's going through a transformation. Sometimes like when Popeye eats spinach and then he bends his arm and you see a bit of his arm go up, and sometimes you'll see an image in that arm of like dynamos generating
stuff,
something they're producing electricity.
Popeye.
Yeah.
So because I know we've got like being dead is when your head comes off and you meet God, but the electrocuting is a different
one
way
of
killing someone, of making something dead.
Right. So why would you do that to a massive hog?
Because some people wanted to. Well, because you're a bit weird in the brain, and you think you don't know what people want to see. Maybe they'll want to see.
Your time is up. Thank you, Sam.
Okay. The current wars.
Oh, very good.
Sit on that.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars?
Well, we've had one term defined. is Will Smith. Will Smith is an actor much like Gwyneth Paltrow, who appears in films, which are things.
I mentioned prize giving as well.
But I don't have that link to any of the other words.
Then
that
he
we
said, "What's an elephant?" And it all got.
We
a bit...
were looking for more context on the prize element, but we did learn about some films are created to sort of reenact bits of Popeye, and the other ones are for security purposes.
Yeah, and then electricity is something which appears in Popeye's muscles when he's had some spinach.
Yeah,
and you can pass that through an elephant.
Which is a sort of big hog.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you shouldn't.
But the purpose for doing that is unclear.
True.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
There are so many things to learn about. We'd like to ask you about a few more. Andrea, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what a marionette puppet is? Your time starts now.
A marionette puppet is... I think probably a lady who really wants to get married yet again. Like, but she wants to marry Annette. Only another woman called Annette. That's like all she wants. Yeah.
And she's not a princess.
She could be on the day, but probably not up until then.
Right.
Yeah.
Would she go to Disneyland to find Annette?
I mean, God, I imagine there's lots of people called Annette at Disneyland. It would be...
Why?
Well, because there's a lot of people called Annette, and there's a lot of people... At Disneyland. So.
I've watched Popeye, and no one in that's called Annette.
No, that's true. That's Luke true. Chan, no, Hollywood, but let's Hollywood. Say you're at Birmingham New Popeye. Street, right? Yeah. And you walked around and you started screaming, Annette! Someone would eventually turn around. Someone would turn around. Some lady right. would turn around.
Do you think that would be because they were called Annette or for another?
What a great question. Yeah, no. A lot of people would turn around who weren't called Annette, right. as well as somebody who
so
was called
So
Annette.
How do you sort the, I've heard this phrase, the wheat from the chaff?
Well, if the wheat is Annette and the chaff is just people who are terrified of you, I don't know the answer to that question in this scenario because I think it would be difficult.
If you went to Cumbria and shouted Annette, how many people would turn around?
I'd say similar amounts. I'd say it depends on which part of Cumbria. Like if you're just in the middle of a field, then there's not that many people around. But if
the
you're
dogs.
Sort of, sure, dogs. And dogs don't know, they might be called Annette, but they wouldn't be able to be like, I'm Annette, because dogs can't speak English. I don't
Why
think.
Not?
I think they're lazy. I think they've never tried to speak English.
So dogs...
Yeah, no need, really.
Dogs can't speak English.
Or they can, and they just choose not to.
Oh,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, because that's where the power lies, isn't it? In the silence.
Power lies in silence.
Like if I just carry on talking and you two just sit there in complete silence,
Thank
right?
You.
You've got the power.
Feeling so powerful.
Andrea.
Yes.
in 2 minutes, you've explained to us that a marionette puppet is...
Oh, puppet. Yeah.
What did you think I said?
Oh, no, nothing. I just got so excited.
Well, it's someone who wants to marry whatever that is, someone called Annette.
Yeah.
And they might look in a field for them.
But they wouldn't be rewarded in that instance.
Yeah.
And due to the paucity of Annettes in a field.
And if any of the dogs in the field were Annette, they would keep that to themselves so they had power over her.
Yes. Those bastard dogs.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
So welcome.
Simon, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what a mime is?
Your time starts now.
A mime is someone who mimics or imitates things. So a bit like an actor, but now the name means more someone who acts without talking for power.
So right. Mimes are very powerful.
Weirdly, they're not powerful because it's hard to tell a story if you're powerful. So Popeye is, for most of a story, will not be powerful. So the story can happen. And then at the last moment, he'll eat something to make him powerful so the story can end.
Right.
But if you're powerful at the beginning, no story can happen. So mimes tend to play quite lower status characters who never get power, so they can just bang on.
I think we need to sort of nail down what power is.
Yeah.
So Popeye becomes powerful through eating spinach.
Yes.
So there,
which is why before, like, his adversaries will pick him up. Yes. But then he'll eat the spinach and he'll be able to pick them up.
So power is the ability to pick.
Yes.
Pick people up. And it's derived from two possible sources, spinach or silence.
Spinach or silence and other sources.
Okay.
What other sources of
power? Well, people are always looking for electricity. Yeah. But people are always looking for sources of power because it's useful to pick things up and move things about.
When you electrocute a massive hog, is it then powerful?
Yes.
Even in death?
Well, what do you mean? Because the other thing the other thing is dying. So, in a way, it's seen as quite a symbol of power if you kill something.
But
about mimes, yeah.
Okay, so the transfer of power. So, are you powerful when you become dead?
No.
Is being dead a position of power?
Unless you have like a particular story that people associate with you, death is a good way to end that story that keeps that story going.
Is there a word for people who die with a good story?
Yes.
What is it?
Popeye.
Thank you. So, in building our understanding of what a mime is, I certainly have been led to believe that if a dog were to withhold from you its name, it would be able to pick you up.
If it was an actor.
If it was an actor and trying to tell a story.
Okay.
And wanted power.
Right.
And if you gain power but die in a narratively satisfying way, you become Popeye.
And are you powerful in death?
No.
Okay.
Some are.
But your story is.
That's not of any use to you, though.
Well, not to you, but to others who come after you, for sure.
I mean, so an elephant gets electrocuted to death. Who then uses that?
The newspaper.
The people who filmed it.
For what?
To sell.
What?
To sell tickets to come and see the film.
And then the other people will come and watch it.
Yeah.
And they'll watch the elephant get electrocuted and they'll go, oh, I've seen an elephant get electrocuted.
Mm. And is that
that's killed
the pinnacle
a couple
of
hours. And now I'm closer to death. And that's
so death is a goal.
I mean, it's an inevitability.
This is all very confusing. But we appreciate the information.
Thank you so much.
In one sentence, what's a newspaper?
A newspaper is a almost obsolete form of sharing news with the world.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'd like to know more about the things people do.
Oh, God. We haven't got that much time.
How you do things?
Andrea.
Yes.
In 2 minutes... Can you please explain to me what scandalising a vicar would be? Your 2 minutes start now.
as a Jew, I imagine.
Andrea.
Yeah. Go on.
What's a Jew?
Oh, wow. Oh, this is a tricky one. A Jew is a human person.
Really?
Not a demon. with no horns at all, who belongs to an ethno-religious group of other human Jews. And has a lot of stories and films made about them, some accurate and some very, very weird.
Okay. Could you, what makes a story about the Jews weird?
Oh, I'm glad that it's me, a Jew, answering this rather than a non-Jew. Let's see. What makes a story about a Jew weird? Well, for example, a recent story about a Jew I found weird because they popped a nose on Bradley Cooper when they could have just left it alone.
Who's Bradley Cooper?
He's an actor.
Mm. So he's a sort of Gwyneth Paltrow figure.
Oh, yeah, he's similar to Gwyneth in many, 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 many ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that he's alive and an actor.
And given that Gwyneth Paltrow became dead when her head was taken off, so that's taking a part of the body off makes you dead.
Yes.
If they put a nose on Bradley Cooper, did that make him more alive?
Well, I think he came alive in front of the cameras more with the nose for some. Mm-hmm. For others, it was a little bit like, did they really need to make him more alive? He's already a very good actor.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? And that's what a Jew is.
does putting a nose on make somebody more Jewish?
Personally, for me, I think it makes them less Jewish, but trying to be more Jewish in a really weird way.
So more alive, but less Jewish.
Does it make them more alive? They come alive, maybe, if they feel like they're really into it. Do you see what I mean?
And in 10 seconds, what's a vicar?
Oh, a vicar is very much not a Jew.
Right.
Your time is up. Thank you, Andrew.
Bradley Cooper without the...
Yeah, Bradley Cooper, but with no extra nose. Or maybe, I don't know, because I don't know what vicars do these days. I haven't slept with one in years. I'm out of touch with the whole vicar thing, you know?
Well, I mean, we've learned lots of information.
Sure,
I don't necessarily...
Want to delve?
No, I have no concerns about that.
Happy to delve.
Scandal.
We forgot about the scandal.
Would you scandalise a vicar by putting a nose on him?
I don't know that he would be scandalised so much as a bit like confused, like what you're doing, why you're doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't know how to scandalise a vicar, but we understand that putting a nose on Bradley Cooper was quite weird.
Only to me. Like, some might disagree.
That's very fair of you.
Yeah, I think it's bloody fair of me, actually. Yeah. Good.
and scandalising is a reaction beyond asking what you're doing.
Yes.
Right.
Scandalising is more towards the insult vibe of before.
Yeah.
Oh, so Popeye would be scandalised when you tell him that the sea is rubbish.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he'd be scandalised to hell and high water if you said the sea was rubbish.
And just to clarify, is Popeye Jewish or...
I don't know. I've not seen him take his trousers off. So,
why would that matter?
It wouldn't. It's just a bit of info for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're allowed to do that, right?
Sidestep.
Sidestep foreskin.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we don't know how it's connected to anything, we can't.
Yeah.
Well, no. Sometimes it's not connected. And that's what makes you Jewish. Or not, or just American. Just American and very clean. Or like slightly desensitized. It's hard to say, I'm not a man. How did we get here?
Well, one of many questions we have. Simon.
Hi.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to me what I would be doing if I were to infringe somebody's employment rights?
Your 2 minutes start now.
I'm not. So do you know the concept of employment?
No.
So if you have a job, do you know what a job is? When you do work for someone for money, do you know what money is?
Yeah, you use exchange things from W.H. Smith. Yeah.
Exactly.
Pens.
Is being an actor a job?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I know. But it's a job that involves often not working. And so, yeah, but it's when you do work, you're working for someone for mm-hmm. money. And because people need money to live and buy hog roasts and eat spinach and stuff.
Yes.
Going back to power, I suppose. Power in terms of status rather than necessarily something that gives you the charge you need to throw someone over the side of a boat.
So there's different kinds of power.
Power in terms of who... who controls what other people do. Obviously.
Picking up,
but also just like telling you to do something and then you do it, whether you want to or not.
Right, so without physically lifting you.
Yes, and okay. So a job might often will entail you doing something you might otherwise not want to do, but you're doing it for money.
And this is a power that a dog doesn't have access to.
It's normally employed as a tool of power. If it's any relation to power at all.
What does Gwyneth Paltrow have to do in her job that she doesn't want to do?
For example, take her trousers down. She might not want to do
Jewish.
That. Yes.
I'm just glad we didn't mention Jews with power because I really don't know how I would have... I don't know how I would have handled that bit.
So, yeah, she
and
might...
And don't you dare ask.
No, well, yeah, just turn, get up early to go and be filmed in front of the cameras. Also just become famous because sometimes you can be very powerful if you're famous, but also everyone feels that they can relate to you, so you feel less powerful.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
There you go, right.
Yeah, you didn't even mention Weinstein once.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we would be doing if we were to infringe someone's employment rights?
It's got to do with power and jobs. Gwyneth Paltrow's job is to get up early and go and be in a film.
Mm-hmm.
A dog does not have the power to make her do this.
But dogs are often a
but
tool.
But can be used to make her do this.
In an ideal world, sure.
And if you were to use a dog to do that, then maybe that would be an infringement of her rights. I don't know, frankly.
Thank you, Simon.
Also, she hasn't acted in years. She does Goop now.
Is that a job?
She thinks so.
Okay. Myself and Andy have use of the English language.
Hello.
But not an understanding of it.
True.
So we'd like to understand more about the English language.
Come to the right people.
Yeah, I've got a degree.
I've got a degree.
And I speak it.
Andrea.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to me what I would mean were I to say, shiver me timbers. Your 2 minutes start now.
Right. This is a tough one because I'm not of the seas. But my understanding mm-hmm. of the phrase shiver me timbers
yes.
is something that a sailor such as Popeye
uh-huh.
might say when surprised or stressed. What would surprise Popeye?
Yes.
Like say if he went down to the shop and there was no spinach to be sold. Because it had run out because Bluto had eaten all of it.
Yes.
He would be surprised and then he would be angry.
Right.
And he would say, shiver me timbers.
I don't know if that's the first thing he'd say, but I suppose...
What's the first thing he'd say?
Do you care to speculate?
What's the first thing he'd say? He'd probably say, oh my God, there's no spinach.
Right. Or, now, I know a little bit about Popeye and I don't think that's really how he communicates.
Oh, so you suddenly, you're telling me how Popeye would communicate.
Yeah, Popeye's one of the three things that we know about.
Fine,
yeah.
Fair enough. What do you think he would say?
Ugh.
Ugh.
Ugh, 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 ugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah no, that's...
I think he might say shiver me timbers.
I think he might say shiver me... Or maybe like, okay, so maybe shiver me timbers is more like if olive oil comes along and he's like she's looking particularly fit that day. And he's like, ooh, shiver me timbers.
What does particularly fit mean?
Just like very beautiful.
Okay. What quantifies that?
In the context of olive oil.
If her face is glowing more than usual.
how much does her face glow usually?
Hard to say in a cartoon, but I'm going to go with 50%.
And if
it's at half brightness.
I'd say she's almost always at half brightness, like all women. But... but on a good day, if you've had some good news, you glow a little more. Like, for example, I had some good news earlier, and I glowed up so much more than I would have.
Would her face get brighter if she were to take her trousers off?
That is a question that only she can answer.
Why?
Because I don't know.
Your time is up, Andrea. Thank you very much indeed.
I don't think I've ever thought this much about Popeye, ever in my life.
I think in his higher register, he'd say, shiver me timbers.
I think he's got the two registers.
Well, maybe it's the sort of thing. As far as we understand it, I would say shiver me timbers if I went to a shop and they'd run out of spinach.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's as a sailor.
But we don't know if there's any other context in which it might be a useful explanation.
Or if a woman was looking particularly fit.
Yeah. and glowing at full mast.
Yeah, I'd say shiver me timbers if I knew a woman and her face was glowing more than usual. Yeah,
51 or above percent.
yeah.
Really suitable.
And that's good advice for life.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Advice is what we need, I think.
Thank you. Simon.
Thank you.
No, thanks. Absolutely,
really
my pleasure.
Like the
thank you so much.
Here.
Yeah, it's a good vibe. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Simon.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. In 2 minutes, could you please tell us what the phrase "the ends justify the means" means?
Time starts now.
Sure. I'm guessing you can sort of have an idea of what it means. Because,
nope. No.
Well, okay. So we talked about stories and narrative.
They're
and
better if someone's dead at the end.
Sometimes it makes for a better story. Sometimes, for a story, people want stuff. That's normally how stories work. Someone wants something.
Spinach.
So spinach. Spinach is normally the means to the end, which is to be strong. But for example, so spinach. No one cares if you eat spinach. It's fine. No one is scandalized. Well, he's more. He cares because Popeye has power. That's what he doesn't want. But if instead of eating spinach to gain power, Popeye had to eat a baby, say, people might go, well, I don't want to follow the adventures of this
Why?
Baby eater. Because it would kill a young life, and eating babies is seen as wrong.
Okay.
Popeye would go, but it
You're
makes
willing to
powerful.
Go on record.
No. I don't want this taken out of context.
I heard
that I think killing babies is wrong. Hang on.
Okay.
It's all very Jonathan Swift right now.
How would a vicar feel about this?
The manner in which you become strong matters to people.
Yes. Absolutely. So
so people prefer it if you eat spinach to babies.
Yes, absolutely.
On the whole.
On the whole, So what, there's an idea of dividing your actions and your consequences into a period of time, and you go, okay, so this bad thing happened, but at the end, this better thing happened, so the bad thing is fine because the better thing happened.
Right.
And so it understood that that's the end of that story, but actually things keep going on.
Having strength is not better than...
I think so. For example, like, there are 11 babies that Popeye wants to save, but in order to save them, he requires a strength that would be amassed by eating 10 babies.
What would you say if he went to the shop to buy a baby and he went and there were none there? Would you
say shiver me timbers in a higher
register?
And then
he just hoped that someone was glowing.
What if he needed to be strong and he went to the shop and they didn't have any spinach, but they did have one baby?
Well, does he have to save anyone?
Well, for the purposes of this thought experiment, that's not enough.
Okay.
So
it's your time is up, Simon. Thank you very much indeed.
Nailed it.
I loved it. I love all that baby stuff. I love babies.
So attaining strength is good.
Mm.
However, if the route to strength is via a baby, specifically consuming a baby,
That was an example.
That's not okay.
Specific.
Spinach is a means,
a preferred means.
Yeah. To access the ends of power, a baby
is
not.
Yeah.
But so non veggies.
But I think even like I'm not a vegetarian, but I still wouldn't eat a baby.
Wouldn't eat one baby to save 10 babies.
No.
Interesting.
What if
all 11 babies would die?
Well, I'm not killing the babies.
Somebody's got a dog.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make you eat the baby to become strong.
Big dog.
Would them having the dog give them more power to make you eat the baby?
Yeah.
How many dogs would they need to have?
Depends on the size of the dog.
Could you give us a sort of...
Yeah.
Compared to a hog?
Between cat and elephant, how big does the dog need to be?
Well, me specifically, I would like to think I would rather let them get to work with the dog than submit to eating a baby. But I don't know my... I don't know.
You never, my know, own until courage. Right
you
there,
never know until someone's threatening you with a dog of some specific size to eat a baby, whether or not you're going
to... I look forward to hopefully seeing this play out in the future and we can...
I'm giving you a bad impression of this scenario. It's something you want to avoid.
Well, now I want more concrete data on how you would behave because we want to learn.
You can't...
Well, thank you, Simon. Andy.
Yes.
At the end of all of that... Who do you feel has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
Oy, it's difficult.
I thought we were working as a team.
Fantastic explanations from both of you, I think. However, I would say that given the understanding of narrative and power that we have gained from Simon,
yes,
I might have to say that Simon has provided the most.
So Simon's got the power.
Satisfactory.
Oh, excellent.
Well, here's what I think. I think...
What a powerful thing to say.
I think...
We've taught them well.
I would say I think Andrea gave us some more sophisticated explanations. However...
Ooh.
Real breadth to your explanations.
However...
Wonderful.
Given what we've just learned Simon is potentially capable of doing, it's probably worth... saying he was better because that may give him some small power in some way, and he won't try and acquire that power via
was
other
very
means.
Conscious yeah. that I was talking to two babies throughout that entire conversation. Yeah.
Totally, so,
put the baby down.
Okay.
So to avoid the potential consequences, Simon, thank you.
Thank you
very
Simon.
Much.
Silence.
Good game.
Counts. Good game.
Good game. Well, yeah. Good game.
And Andrea, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Would you eat a baby to get power?
I wouldn't eat a baby to get power, but I would eat one baby to save 10 babies. 100%.
Okay.
He's meeting God.
That's exactly. Oh, okay.
And again.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, lovely.
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.